see it in the movies and the paper and the TV news. Somebody's army is always on the move. There's gonna be a battle. The lines have been drawn. They got guns and tanks and planes. The wells are gone dry and the water is bad. And the air is acid rain. There's war after war and rumors of war from the east. There's a rumbling in the ground and they're talking about the beast. Good mother's cry calls the rivers run high with the blood of too many sons. Some people say peace is on the way, but the worst is still to come. Cause the prophets wrote about it, and Jesus spoke about it, and John got to take a look. And he told us what he saw, and it's easy to see. It's going by the book. It's going by the book. Cities and the missiles stand ready for flight. A pale horse rides like the wind across the night. And that rumbling in the desert like thunder getting closer. Are the trumpets getting ready to blow? There's gonna be a shout that will wake the dead. We better be ready to go. Cause the prophets wrote about it, and Jesus spoke about it, and John got to take a look. And he told us what he saw, and it's easy to see. It's going by the book. It's going by the book.
Welcome to Walking for Jesus program. This afternoon, my name is Thomas Gambo. I'm the host of your program today, your program. Family, hope you all had a great weekend. Some of you did, some of you, who knows what happened on the weekends these days. I know this weekend was a special one. On the 21st of September, that'd be yesterday, it was Mabon, M-A-B-O-N. It's a Wicca Satanist Sacrifice Day. And the week before that, that'd be last week, is when they prepare their victims throughout the world in the tens of thousands for sacrifice. And the idea is to put sheer terror in them. I know this is not a good way to start. It's not a good introduction. But family, I get right down to business. The reality of what you're dealing with today. The reality of it. You know, I could give you, Dr. Feelgood messages and all that sort of thing all day long. Guideposts, I could come up with stories. Warms your heart and all that stuff. And then say, well, that's the broadcast. Have a great, and have a good feeling. That's good. But what about praying against the evil that is causing in the background? How come people turn away from what's really going on? I liken it to this. I got a company coming over, say, and I got this old cake. I need to make a cake. All right? And so I just don't have the time. So I find this cake that I've had in the closet for a long time. I say, well, okay, I'll make it look good. So I go to the store and buy some icing, frosting. It's good tasting frosting. The kind you put on carrot cake or something, whatever. And so I put on and I spread over it. I just hope nobody cuts into the cake, but I try to say certain things to get them to get their minds off of it. I'll put some ice cream out there. But it looks good because it looks like I really made the cake. You understand? When somebody comes up, though, and puts a knife in there, and the knife goes, and, well, this is not cutting real well. You know, it's a concrete cake. What can you expect? And they cut a piece, or I'm not looking. Somebody cuts a piece and looks at the worms in it and finds out it's old and got cobwebs. I mean, I know that sounds bad, but that's what you got, an underbelly in America. It's what you got in Europe, Scandinavia, Africa, Russia, China. Oh, just South America, just pick them. That's the reality of what's going on today. Now, we can turn away from it if you want to, about the prostitution that the government supports, the drugs the government brings in, always have since the 1950s, and the murdering of children that the Child Protective Service facilitates by design. Senator Schaefer was going to take them down, expose Child Protective Service for what it really is. It protects nothing. They'll find some cases that, to justify their existence. But the whole purpose of Child Protective Service for the government is to collect children that they use in their ritualistic sacrifices, their sexual aberrations, and satanic cult activities. And the same goes for Europe, same goes for Russia, same goes for all of the elite in the world at the same time. Because they all go on a certain holidays of ritualistic murder, suicide, rape, and so forth. Now, nobody, few people are actually exposing this. You know, somebody's got to talk about it, darn it. Because it's going on in your government. Ever since Ben Franklin, that fat little cooter, little Ben Franklin, who is a hellfire club, who is a Satanist, the real Ben Franklin of the 1700s, that's the same one, was murdering children. They've confirmed that. Family, he wasn't some squatty little man that was a patriot, flying a kite, collecting electrical sparks and a key, whatever. That's all nonsense in history books. It's garbage. Family, they're all, and they were sent over from Europe, Freemasons, Fabian Society, to set up a dictatorship without you knowing about it. It worked perfectly for almost 300 years. Y'all didn't know it, did you? But now you know it, right? Because they want you to. Here's the point. When they want you to know certain bad parts, they're going to tell you. When it's time that they have total control, and it's called the dialectic. Because then you'll say, oh, that's terrible. Oh, no, it's terrible. This is horrible what they're doing. We need something different. That's what they're waiting for. And they'll say, oh, well, we have something different. We have a better way to do it. Oh, okay. They're just leading you right down the same path. Only Jesus Christ. That's it. No Pope, no Billy Graham, no Osteens, none of them, no human, not one that's ever lived, except those that followed Jesus, knows the real story of what's going to happen, because they were given that knowledge through the Holy Spirit, through Jesus Christ walking with him, and through God talking to Moses. That's it. That's the only part of the Torah that's God inspired. The rest of it is just made by man and whatever. Maccabees and all this and that and other. If you're into history, go for it. But has nothing about salvation. Comes not from God, but from man himself. The King James Bible comes from God himself to man that we're righteous. Righteous means they follow his lead. They were talked to by God to write this down. God didn't have fingers except in the Ten Commandments. And it says, God wrote in stone. You ever thought about that? Really, really thought it? See, Moses wrote down 613 instructions after God did the Ten Commandments. See, Moses didn't say, I got the Ten Commandments. Well, these things are heavy, Lord, but I'll carry them down here. Okay, that's it. Well, no, he went back up. And he, of course, the first set, the originals got busted up, right, because he got really mad and a lot of people died that day, but anyway, because they went to a golden calf. I imagine Aaron got spanked a little bit. Then Moses went back up, and he got another set, copy. I'm sure God didn't make a mistake. He did another copy on the in the rock, in the scroll, in the stone, written in stone, quote-unquote, from God himself with his finger. Now, God didn't need a quill. He didn't need a pencil, pen, or whatever. He used his finger. How? Because he's supernatural. It wasn't Moses that said, now, God, okay, go ahead. I got this carved out. Now, it was slow enough to where I can chisel it. It didn't work that way either. God did it supernaturally by changing the alchemy, changing the structure of the stone in a supernatural way to etch with his own finger the laws, the Ten Commandments. Etched in stone, the same ones he would have told Adam and Eve that they were supposed to follow, and things got way out of hand, I'd say. The flood took care of that, washed it right down the drain. Not to make light of it, but that's kind of what happened. Only 8 people survived that were righteous before God. You see how it worked? And then God picked those that's righteous and obedient. Well, man had a hand in writing the Bible and all this. Yeah, but guided by God because they were righteous men. They followed God's instructions. You see? So when God chose, finally, King James to ordain, to authorize the Bible to be written properly, they chose real scholars, real men of God, not what you got today. I mean, you're not going to find any of them today in Harvard, Yale. Forget it. No way possible you got scholars in any of these colleges. Confirmed, I've proven this over and over. Literally, you don't. Because they're biased. Humanist, Satanist, Luciferian, but mainly they're humanist, Marxist, socialist, as proven by their own colleagues, by their own words, and admitting it. That means their work today is worthless. It's there to mislead you, literally. Harvard received $20 million in donations from Rockefeller. Rockefeller's Illuminati. They worship Satan. Let's see. Is there a conflict of interest? Let me think for a second. Yeah, I think there might be. Yeah. Since Harvard received $20 million decades and decades and decades ago from Satanists and Luciferians named Rockefellers and who knows else, I imagine he'd be able to tell them what they will and won't do, don't you think? Don't you think? Well, I think so. So, family, the point of the matter is Satan is prince of this world. He's not king. But right now, he's ruling this world as God is allowing him to. So hence, back to what I was talking about. September the 21st. That's what's going on in the background of this country, of Europe, of all the countries at the same time. Compromise of the church is beginning. As they predicted, in their own textbooks, oh yeah, they got textbooks, and their own plan of re-spiritualizing the Roman Catholic Church. When they re-spiritualize the Roman Catholic Church, do you understand what that's going to do? Because really, the Baptist, Methodist, Presbyterian, this ist and that ist, and this ism and that ism, is based on Roman Catholicism. You have different degrees of Roman Catholicism. You got the hardcore Orthodox, etc., etc. And then you got the ones that got away from religious intolerance because, you know, you kind of get tired of getting murdered. You know, that's a problem because the Roman Catholic Church murdered 50 to 68 million people in a 600-year period called the Inquisition. That's just the Inquisition. That's not count Bartholomew Massacre. In 1 week, they murdered 700,000 people. In 1 week, that's a lot of blood, man, you know. And in the camp in Jasanovic in 1941 to 43, they murdered they murdered with the Ustasha 750,000 Serb Orthodox Christians. 750, it's almost a million. And 60,000 Jews were murdered by the Roman Catholic Ustasha family and 26,000 gypsies. Add that up, that's almost 820-some-thousand people murdered in a 2 or 3 year period at Jasanovic concentration camp in Croatia in World War II. Hitler was Roman Catholic. Y'all, come on now. You won't prove this wrong. It's a fact. These are all facts. Got names even for a bunch of them. I have a complete and total report on Jasanovich. And they tried to canonize Bishop Stefanich, that was one of the administrators of the concentration camp. Bishop, no kidding. This is ridiculous. Beyond ridiculous. Family, Jesus Christ is the only one. There's no human being, religion on the face of this planet. Not even Christianity. None. This is not a zero. And no country. Jesus Christ is coming back. And let me tell you something. He's coming back to judge those churches. So you preachers, rabbis, and priests, man, I would not want to be in your flip-flops when he comes back. I'm going to tell you that right now. Because your time is short. And if you don't feel conviction for the lies you're telling your congregation, your synagogues, and your cathedrals, then you got a reprobate mind. And the junk you're putting out about the revelations, I suggest you read Revelation 22, 18 and 19. And there's a little verse there in the Bible that talks about having a millstone tied around your neck. It's better to have that hand thrown in the water, the deepest part of the ocean, than lead the little ones astray. That means Christians. You better read that because God remembers it. And he'll remember you. How you lied to your congregation, synagogues, and cathedrals and masses. The King James Bible contains the true word of God. It's there. Never been refuted. Oh, they try. They fail every time. Every single time. Family, time's getting short. Because the evil underbelly of the church today is showing its face. Imagine that. I'll talk a little bit about that today. I'm going to dedicate the broadcast now. As I do. And we're going to talk a lot about today. The news will lead me into the detailed commentary. That's how I do it. And I got a whole bunch this time. Whole bunch. All week long, I'm going to show you how they've infiltrated into the churches. That's how you control people, is by emotion. That's what they've done. I know my broadcasts are not for the faint of heart and not for the easy listening. It's not. I will tell you the truth. But I do not want you to believe anything I tell you. I want you to find out for yourself. I want you to challenge what I tell you on your own. You can do it while I'm talking if you want to, because a computer is that fast. It's faster than me. So while I'm talking about something, you think, that sounds ridiculous. Well, get up another screen on your computer, whatever y'all do, and then you do a search and you find out for yourself. And never less than three sources. And just not connected sources. Three or more sources to support one assertion. It's time to find the truth out. And you won't find it with man. And you won't find it if you're attached to a church, a religion, a name, or whatever. You'll find it when you just search for truth no matter what. If your daddy is a Freemason, so what? Who cares? Big deal. Because the Freemasons worship Lucifer. Fact. Proven. By their own words. Albert Pike. Morals and Dogma. Confirms it. Slap dab. They just don't tell the Freemasons below. They lie to them. Directed by Albert Pike in his book, Morals and Dogma. And their own direction of their protocol to lie to the first 3 degrees to hook them. So 3 degrees later and 3 blood oaths, they got them hooked. Got them all puffed up. And they're going to use them to destroy other people. Provide records they shouldn't provide. Give contracts where they shouldn't give. Then the individual doing it feels conflicted with what they're taking in church and what they're having to do because they gave a word to God that they would go along with the brotherhood. Feel conflicted, don't you? Was meant to. How to get out of it? Renounce the blood oath and get the dickens out of there. Don't go back anymore. that conviction you feel when you do certain things, a Master Mason or the Grand Inspector General wants you to do, and you feel conflicted? Yeah, because the Holy Spirit's saying you're doing the wrong thing. You brought Satan to your home the minute you took a blood oath in the first degree. Fact. And you've cursed your family bloodline for generations to come. And if you're one of the third generation that your grandfather, great-grandfather was Freemason, you're still cursed from that effort they made of becoming a Freemason. Eastern Star, whatever. Rosicrucian, Knights of Malta, you've cursed your family for four generations plus. It's time to break it and get with Jesus. Because the third and third degree Mason, they renounce Jesus Christ. If they tell you otherwise, they're liars from the pit of hell. Family, let's dedicate the broadcast. Let's get moving. Lord, we thank you today for bringing us together. Lord, in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ, we pray, Father, for those families, this missing loved ones that's involved in this, have been sacrificed, Lord, that for this satanic weekend that we just went through. Lord, we pray for the forgiveness of sins ourselves. We pray for the comfort of families, Father, that's missing those loved ones. And Father, to use this evil that's been passed by, has passed by us, Lord, we pray that you use this for good, to bring families together in time of mourning, in time of this trouble. Lord, we call upon you this rest of this week and this month, Father, all the way to the Wicca holidays of Sawi and the 31st, Father, to put a stop to their activities, and Father, to expose them, to open up their darkness that we can see and pray against it, Lord. We call upon you, Father, for the angels of heaven to come down, Lord, and to free the victims they have today. And Father, to expose these countries, the leaders of these countries and all countries of the Wicca, of the Satanists that they are, that Lord, you'll expose them, and Father, to cut through their facade, and Father, expose them for what they really are. Lord, we pray for return of Jesus Christ to get here. Father, but thee and I will, that in your will, Father, that you'll bless us with the knowledge and Father, with opportunities to witness to others, Lord, to give us an opportunity to witness to family members about the love of Jesus. And Lord, we call upon you, Father, that you'll bless our families, that you'll protect us with the blood of Jesus, Lord, from interruptions, anything that takes us away from the study of God, Father, from us talking and from us, Father, witnessing to others. The Father, you protect us. And Father, you protect our family members as they've strayed away. That Father, you'll touch their hearts, they'll come back. And soften them up, Lord, that by divine appointments and every minute it takes, Lord, before that time, the day of the Lord comes. We pray for our veterans, Lord, that's being injected with these vaccines, that's got the microchips in them, Lord, that we pray for those that's healing of those that's been given these psychotropic drugs, Father. We pray, Father, for healing of children that's being given these drugs for this fake ADHD diagnosis they're being given as excuses for these pills, Lord, that you've healed their bodies, Lord, and take these pharmacies, the pharmakia, the sorcery out of the homes and render it null and void. And Father, we pray for an awakening of the truth about the books of Revelation and the end times events, Father, because there's so much false prophecy going around now today. Father, expose it. For these things we pray. Father, we also pray that, Lord, we pray 2 Chronicles 7:14, Father. We pray, Lord, that we're praying for a people that's going to come together to go out and call people to come to God. For those to get together, Lord, to fill every state and every city with people going out lifting up the name of Jesus so they can draw all those people who desire to come in and now. That, Lord, that there's things coming to America that those who've not received him may not be able to deal with and handle. That, Father, these churches will be convicted to preach the truth. And that, Father, we know you'll protect your own. But, Father, we know that we have to witness to others. Satan will protect his own. But Father, we call upon you to strip down their protection and seal the Holy Spirit to their hearts. And yet as a guide to your Son, Jesus Christ. So, Father, we pray for others to link up and go out, not because of themselves or church or ministry, but because he's worthy of us, even to the unsaved. Father, we do make this prayer in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ, that, Father, our country, our people, the world will humble themselves before God, pray to his name, and seek forgiveness, so he'll heal the land, give us opportunities to witness to others before that day the Lord comes. In these things we pray. Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. And give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Family, all this week, I'm going to make a focus on how Satan has infiltrated in our lives. You got to know what to pray against and when to pray and what to pray for. Otherwise, we're going to watch reruns of Andy Griffin. We're going to play little games on TV. We're going to play little games on video. We're going to just do your work and make your money and come home and next day make your money and do your work and go home and maybe go play some golf. But in the meantime, it's going to sneak up on you. And you're going to wonder what happened when this thing hits. Because there's a movement going on today, supernaturally. It does appear. The battle seems to be increasing. You know, there was a September the 20th. There is a football game played, of course. In Oneida, Tennessee, there was high school cheerleaders that openly, cleverly defied the school prayer ban. You know, in every season since 1930, this Oneida, Tennessee high school football games began with a prayer. And based on legal advice, the school chose not to begin the game with an invocation by the public address system as they normally did. But the administrators had a moment of silence instead. So after receiving complaints from secular groups, of course, about the school-led prayers at the distinct family night football game, they cleverly sidestepped the prayer ban. So instead of a moment of silence on, it was September the 12th, the cheerleaders linked hands on the field and recited the Lord's Prayer out loud. And then the crowd in the stands joined them. One of the cheerleaders, Asia Canada, said to one of the reporters, "It was an unforgettable moment. Just hearing everybody reciting the Lord's Prayer, it was amazing." So, did they actually violate the First Amendment of the U.S. Constitution? Which, the Constitution is not in existence anyway. Don't let some judge or Napolitano or any Sheriff of Pio or any of those other pseudo-lawyers tell you otherwise. There is no Constitution. It's rendered null and void in 1938, Tompkins versus Erie Railroad, anyway, by federal mandate that you all weren't told about. Lincoln, back in 1860s, rendered it null and void when he declared martial law that still stands today. But they don't tell you these things, do they? He went against the Jesuits in 1863, exposed them for starting the Civil War and manufacturing it. Lincoln's own words. He's going against them. That's why they assassinated him, the Jesuits and the Freemasons. I bet other Freemasons didn't even know that. Anyway, the Establishment Clause in the First Amendment states that Congress shall make no law respecting an establishment of religion. So the Establishment Clause is followed by the freedom of religion or free exercise clause, or prohibiting the free exercise thereof, religion. So the intent of the U.S. founding fathers that were deists in the first place, by the way, was prevent the government from establishing or promoting a single religion, but to allow the U.S. to accommodate any number of religions. Imagine that. They were deists. You know that, right? Freemasons, Fabians, that even George Washington didn't trust them. And neither did Thomas Jefferson. They didn't trust him. John Adams. Thomas Jefferson was a bad guy. Thomas Jefferson wrote his own Bible. Thomas Jefferson followed Adam Weishaupt, a Satanist and a Jesuit, and the one who conjured up, no pun intended, the world revolutionary plan that's destroying lives today. They're still under it today, by the way. So, in the year 2000, the U.S. Supreme Court had a similar case that has since guided public invocations at school events. That's how they do it. But these cheerleaders, in September the 12th, by publicly praying at a public school sponsored, i.e. government event, did they run afoul of the Establishment Clause? Well, in Santa Fe, New Mexico, Independent School District versus Doe, the case involved a student elected as Santa Fe High School Students Council chaplain. He delivered a prayer and described as overly Christian prayer over the public address system before each home varsity football game. Well, the practice of Santa Fe football game players was challenged by a Mormon and a Catholic. Mormonism was established by the Illuminati. Roman Catholicism was established by a pagan, Constantine, in the year 325 A.D. And it's always been that way. That's a fact. Oh, we'll get to that. Joseph Smith was pagan. Joseph Smith was Illuminati. Joseph Smith was murdered. Mormonism is linked up to witchcraft and to Freemasonry. And they do some of the same blood oaths. They control the people, and they will murder in a half heartbeat for people that tell the secrets. Oh, yeah. So right there is a problem. But this lawsuit that invoked the establishment clause of the First Amendment. So the school district then amended the practice a little bit, but essentially argued in court that a student-led prayer at a voluntarily attended football game doesn't qualify as a government-led prayer. So, but it wasn't over. The U.S. Supreme Court ruled 6-3 in the year 2000 that even the student-led, student-initiated prayer was a violation of the Establishment Clause. Imagine that, huh? Ruth Bader Ginsburg, Supreme Court, witchcraft there for sure. Am I being too aggressive or assertive? I'm sorry. Because it's true. The evil that woman's done is beyond words. I've given examples over and over on my broadcast about Ruth Bader Ginsburg, Illuminati, Satanist. Ginsburg, Illuminati from Russia. Yeah. Now, the invocation is delivered to a large audience assembled as a part of a regularly scheduled school-sponsored function conducting on school property. So, regardless of the listener's support for this objection and this to the message, an objective Santa Fe High School must perceive the pregame prayer has stamped with her school the seal of approval. Okay. Now, the history of this policy, kind of beginning with the long-sanctioned office of student chaplain, it kind of reinforces the perception, we'll say, that the prayer in actuality encouraged by the school, because there's an assignment of a position. But the Constitution doesn't permit a school district to exact religious conformity And that from a student is a price of joining her classmates at a varsity football game. So it kind of seemed that this Oneida High School, long time practice of a verbal prayer, led by the football game announcer, which would also violate the establishment clause as outlined in the Supreme Court's 2000 ruling, because by them. But you know, you had Justice John Paul Stevens may have given the cheerleaders some wiggle room, because in the year 2000, this Justice John Paul Stevens said, of course, by no means does the First Amendment impose a prohibition on all religious activities in our public schools. So there's nothing in the Constitution, as interpreted by the court, that prohibits any public school student from voluntarily praying at any time before, during, or after the school day. So, you have legal scholars, if you want to call them such, which I don't think so, that there's no such thing as a legal scholar anymore. And there's certainly no religious scholars, because they're humanists, socialists, and Marxists, as confirmed by Roger Kimball, by Georgia Ann Geyer, by a host of other, Bertrand Russell, that all schools, Charles Francis Potter, a humanist, John Dewey, father of American education, he's a humanist, man. Your father of American education, Horace Mann, and John Dewey are humanists. Hello? So, legal scholars, quote unquote, might argue that a voluntary prayer by a cheerleader, without using a PA system, not endorsed, encouraged, or sponsored by the Oneida School, does not violate the Establishment Clause. So if others join the cheerleader, that's their choice. The distinction isn't large, but it might be large enough. On the other hand, as commentary goes in other places, if the Oneida High School cheerleaders are financially supported by taxpayer funds, and Lord's Prayer or any prayers are part of their training or reviewed by school officials, then the practice would seem to run afoul of the court's decision in Santa Fe versus Doe. Satan was defeated. That's how you do it. Not by armed revolution like Rick Joyner and Jerry Boykin might support of armed revolution, a military takeover. But then again, they would, because they're Knights of Malta members, and they want to establish a dictatorship in America. Those two, plus Wesley Clark, are lying to you, militia. The very ones that pretend to be generals in support of America are traitors and liars, because they have taken a blood oath in the name of God to kill, literally, in their blood oath of Knights of Columbus, Knights of Malta, Freemasonry at the highest level. Literally. They try to explain it away. And people that are on their side, they like them, maybe because they have good barbecues, I don't know, or they play golf together, will justify their evil of these two, three men, plus others, like Beck Buchanan, and others that are Knights of Malta members. Family, search out Jesus and Jesus alone. He's the only one you can trust. This is how you do it. As you go around it. Render to Caesar, which is Caesar, but unto God, that which is God. There's ways to do it. But violence is not one way. It's never worked in the history of mankind. Now, I know, some of you all history buffs. Now, hold on there a minute. We got the revolution, and we won. No, you didn't. You lost horribly. We never won our freedom from Britain. We never became a country. We remained a colony beginning in 1789. And that's a fact. We're put under financial bondage for 70 years, 1789 to 1859. They made sure another civil war, another war occurred to put us under another bondage for another 70 years, 1859 to 1929. They made sure that we had a Great Depression heading toward a war and a military takeover of the U.S. government in 1929 to 1939. It failed to happen, but we remained under financial bondage. People didn't realize, didn't know. 1929 to 1999. And 1999 was supposed to be World War III, as started by Wesley Clark, a pseudo-general, a pseudo-patriot, and definitely a pseudo-Christian, not remotely a Christian. He's a Rhodes Scholar. He took an oath, just like the Knights of Malta and the Jesuits take an oath, to support the Vatican. These are evil individuals and liars. They work for Satan. Let's get down to it. I don't feel like being gentle this week. Maybe I'll lose listeners. I don't know. But I'm not going to lie to you. And I'm not afraid of these people. You know? I know our time is short in being able to speak out. But that's okay, because that means that Jesus Christ is coming back sooner. The closer we get to those times, the sooner it is for their end and the beginning of millennium. But before that, 7 years of tribulation. If you think for one second, even one second, that God's going to let go what's happened since the day his son died on the cross, rose again, the evil of the men then, and you think for one second from the time of the separation between the flood and Nimrod that God's going to forget all that that happened from Nimrod till now? No, he's not. He's going to remember every war. He'll remember every dead, screaming child. He'll remember every war that they started. He'll remember every evil thing that they've done in the name of Satan. He'll remember everyone that turned down his son and turned away from his laws. He'll remember every single mother's and daughter's son of them from the day that it began. And they'll be judged at great white throne judgment. That will happen. Family, take Jesus Christ right down on the cross for your sins so you wouldn't have to go through that eternal punishment. Hell wasn't created for mankind. But God had to have laws and rules that were strict. He's perfectly just, perfectly loving, but perfectly just. Got to know what that means. What does he say? Vengeance is mine, saith the Lord, because he created everything, but he gave us free will. And our free will has not worked very well. None of us, not one human being in the billions upon billions, were sinless except for Jesus Christ, who was all human, but also all God at the same time. God had a plan. But he's a just God. He's not compromising. You got to know this, because that time, he's letting you know. They have to tell you what they're going to do before they do it. Problem is, they do it in such a way that you can't tell. Tricky, but if you know the scriptures, you got some wisdom, discernment that God gives you through the Holy Spirit, you can tell. You can see through the deception. When you turn away from God, well, okay, he pulls away. What do you expect? But he's always there when you call for him. Family, it's important. If you're there already, then your family is next. Those that's moved away, turned away. Because Satan's going to come at you through your families. It don't mean you turn away from your families. It means you pray for them. You anoint oil in the house. You pray for the house. You get the demons out of there. Renounce the blood oaths. Get rid of the Freemasonry paraphernalia. Renounce the bloodline that goes back to your great-great-great-great-grandfather, Freemason. Man, renounce that bloodline. Renounce it by calling for forgiveness of that bloodline, what it did, and taking that blood oath that they take. There's ways for deliverance. That's another story. Family, it's important. It's what holds back prayers being answered. Well, our kids, your kids, kids that you feel that got kids back in school every day now, Monday through Friday, I assume. 9 months of it. They're going through classes at school. And those are in college. You're going to work or retired home, whatever the case may be, and they're in college or going to school, and you can, oh, yeah, well, I can do my this and do that. But I hate to break it to you. What's coming up next on the agenda is going to be vaccinations that they're going to make them have to take. Already they're preparing for it. Because when they have articles, they put these articles out nationwide or worldwide in some cases about Ebola. Put fear into you. Got to put fear into you now. They got to have the fear. So you'll start saying, well, I don't want them to die, so I better get the vaccination. That's what they want. That vaccination is a killer. And at the same time, they're admitting that the vaccinations are bad. You see, one of the articles came out recently, more than 700 Texas infants were exposed to tuberculosis at a hospital. More fear. Ebola. They're sticking these things at you. Adults getting the vaccine. Family, those vaccines are there to kill on the long term. Look, and they're telling you that, though, now. They're telling you. Now, those that don't watch the news, you know, they just do their work, they do their daily routines and all that, they're not going to know anyway. They're going to get their 15-minute news, assume it's all 100% true, and that's it. Then those of you that are quote-unquote conspiracy theorists, which I don't believe in conspiracy theory, I believe in the conspiracy fact. There's no theory, it's a fact, conspiracy. Then you're going to do the research. You're going to study. You're going to read the news. You're going to look at all this stuff going on. And the people that, you know, think you're crazy, right? Well, they got you handled too. Operation Mockingbird put so-called truth tellers in your pool of other truth tellers. They're not truth tellers at all. They work for the government. Operation Mockingbird. So those that's heavily supported work for the Illuminati and Jesuits, by the way. I'm going to explain their technique here shortly. And it's going to look like today I'm all over the board. But all this is connected. I'm going to show you different ways this week of how they actually operate. So you won't be fooled. But right now they're going to fool you and scare you with, you know, like 700 Texas infants exposed to tuberculosis at a hospital. How could that happen? Well, maybe your kids get vaccinated, huh? They don't tell you how many die from the vaccinations of HPV, of all these other shots. Now they say the U.S. government openly admits vaccines are seriously harming children. Well, what are we to do? You see, causing fear. Family, get closer to God. Start now. This is the remedy. It's not about being religious. This isn't a religious show. This is a show of reality today in my shows, my programs, whatever you want to call them. It's about reality. Now, remember I told you a little while ago, 45 minutes ago, give or take, that the Roman Catholic Church, as documented, had something called the Inquisition. 50 to 68 million people murdered for no reason other than being Christ-loving people. That's it. That the thing about the witches and all that is a lie from the Vatican. Nothing but a lie. So that's murdering 50 to 68 million people that were innocent just because they worship Jesus Christ. That's a problem. Well, at least in my book it is. That's not counting the wars that they orchestrated. How about the largest numbers of deaths in American servicemen. Civil War, 500 and some odd thousand. Lincoln said, and I quote, "This war would never have been possible without the sinister influence of the Jesuits. We owe it to popery that we now see our land reddened with the blood of our noblest sons, though there were great differences of opinion between the South and the North on the question of slavery. Neither Jeff Davis nor any of the leading men of the Confederacy would have dared to attack the North had they not relied on the promise of the Jesuits that under the mask of democracy, the money and the arms of the Roman Catholics, even the arms of France, were at their disposal if they would attack us." Unquote. Abraham Lincoln. You'll find that in Charles Chitney's book, 50 Years in the Church of Rome. 1885, page 388. That's just a civil war. It has been that way ever since 1776. It hasn't changed one iota. When are people going to take a stand? Historian Anthony Sutton said of World War II, I quote, "Without the capital supplied by Wall Street, there would have been no I.G. Farben in the first place, and certainly no Adolf Hitler in World War II," unquote. Well, I.G. Farben chemical cartel was a major source of Hitler's financial power, and there was a little known source of enormous power was Wall Street, Rockefellers. It goes back to World War I. They're Illuminati in America. Rothschilds, Illuminati in Europe. But they're the outside Illuminati. The ones they want you to know about. The inside Illuminati, the real controllers, are Italian. Aldo Brandini, Chagi, Orsini. He controls the popery. They've always had a great pope. For generations. And a black pope, since Loyola from the Jesuits. Before that was Alumbrados. They've always been nothing but murderers. And the white pope is the one you see in front. That's how it always works. The Chicago Tribune said, and I quote, in 1950, "The members of the Council on Foreign Relations are persons of much more than average influence in their community. They've used their prestige that their wealth, their social position, and their education have given them to lead their country toward bankruptcy and military debacle. They should look at their hands. There's blood on them. The dried blood of the last war and the fresh blood of the current one," unquote. And that's talking about World War II and Korean War. That quote was Chicago Tribune, 1950. And I will add that that year, 1950s, the Chicago Tribune had escaped the control of the Council of Foreign Relations. They lost that status sometime after that in the 60s. They clamped down on them for obvious reasons. The Council of Foreign Relations, 1921, has prepared all the wars to kill your young boys and girls in wars that should never have happened. Every single war, no exception. Not one. Since 1776, Freemasons have been behind it. Jesuits, Fabian Society, leading to a New World Order all the way back to the 1700s. It actually goes back to the year 1425. I'll hold back on that one for the time being. I got details on all of it. So the Council of Foreign Relations sets up the wars to kill your young boys and girls. And the Council of National Policy is a right-wing conservative religious group that's linked up to the National Council of Churches of communist ideas that's underneath the Council of Foreign Relations. And the Council of National Policy formed up the Tea Party and brought in Ron Paul as, who's a Rosicrucian, another liar. Every doggone one of them. Republican, Democrat, they all have their assignment to bring us to a new world order. Both sides. And libertarian. They're all controlled. That's correct. Some of the leaders at these little towns that have these Tea Party meetings and all that stuff, at Golden Corral and whatever, they have no idea what I'm talking about. The evidence is clear, though. The Council of Foreign Relations is nothing more than a sitting member of what's called the Round Table, described by Quigley, inspiration to Clinton. Carol Quigley wrote Tragedy and Hope. He just outlines it, tells you right there. So all the CFR is a sitting member of the Illuminati Round Table, of which also has a equivalent of Royal Institute of National Affairs in London. It's equivalent to it, formed by the Rothschilds. The Club of Rome, which discusses depopulation and murder of civilizations. That's a fact. The Bilderberg Group. I'm sure you've heard about that before. The Gorbachev Foundation, United Nations, and the Trilateral Commission. The heads of those or representatives sit around what's called a round table. That's what it's called. As they have their separate meetings, they come together and discuss the Humanist Manifesto and what objectives they've achieved in the past year and whenever to bring us to a new world order. The Constitution is laughable. It's a joke. As are all the other documents in every other country. The Council of Foreign Relations is your downfall. The downfall of those that work for the Council of Foreign Relations is the Council of Foreign Relations hierarchy. They plan the wars to kill your children, that killed your father, that killed your grandfather, killed your uncle, for nothing. They formed these wars so they could benefit from it and lead to a new world order. And that's a bona fide, guaranteed, documented fact. And once at the highest level, they know that too.
Oh, thank you very much, Richard. And I am delighted to be here in these new headquarters. I have been often to, the mothership in New York City. But it's good to have an outpost of the council right here down the street from the State Department. We get a lot of advice from the council, so this will mean I won't have as far to go to be told what we should be doing and how we should think about the future. I mean, Richard just gave what could be described as a mini version of my remarks in talking about the issues that confront us. But I look out at this audience filled with not only many friends and colleagues, but people who have served in prior administrations. And so there is never a time when the inbox is not full. Shortly before I started at the State Department, a former Secretary of State called me with this advice: don't try to do too much. And it seemed like a wise admonition, if only it were possible. But the international agenda today is unforgiving. Two wars, conflict in the Middle East, ongoing threats of violent extremism and nuclear proliferation, global recession, climate change, hunger and disease, and a widening gap between the rich and the poor. Thank you very much, Richard, and I am delighted to be here in these new headquarters. I have been often to, the mothership in New York City, but it's good to have an outpost of the council right here down the street from the State Department. We get a lot of advice from the council, so this will mean I won't have as far to go to be told what we should be doing and how we should think about the future.
Okay. CFR was formed in 1920. So, as in World War II, the Chicago Tribune blamed the Council on Foreign Relations for the ill-advised entry into first police action of Korea. Quote, the members of the council, of the one Hillary is talking about, should look at their hands. There's blood on them. The dried blood of the last war, that's World War II, and the fresh blood of the present one, Korean War. So now, it's interesting to note that during the Korean War, for example, the Taiwan, which was Formosa, was ready and willing to cross the channel and to retake Red China after World War II. That would be the Korean War. But this was not allowed to happen. Because you see, the communists, their policy was not to be removed from power. General Douglas MacArthur said, and I quote, the possibility of Red China, this is his diary, the possibility of Red China's entry into the Korean War had existed ever since the order from Washington issued to the 7th Fleet in June to neutralize Formosa, Taiwan, which in effect protected Red China mainland from attack by Chiang Kai-shek's forces of 500,000 men, unquote. General Douglas MacArthur. He told the truth. So according to the untold story of Douglas MacArthur, not only did Truman, a Freemason and a liar, as I've added that to it, declared it was against American policy for the free Chinese to reclaim communist China, but he also ordered the American fleet in the Straits of Formosa to make sure it happened. So protected by the U.S. Navy, China was free to send its soldiers to North Korea to aid in the attack on the north, on the south. That would be 9 divisions now, wouldn't it? That overcame our army. The 25th, I think, and 26th Infantry Regiment was overpowered. They ran like the Dickens, leaving equipment, tanks. Man, you had 9 divisions of Chinese bearing down on them. That put General Puller at the Frozen Chosen surrounded by Chinese forces. So, since he couldn't fight China without first getting through the U.S. Navy, Chiang Kai-shek even offered still the use of his troops to fight in South Korea. Quote, the Taiwanese government of Chiang Kai-shek, who less than a week after North Koreans had crossed the 30th parallel, offered the State Department an advance force of 33,000 troops that could be embarked for Korea within 5 days after the offer was accepted. The suggestion was politely refused. Formosa was at that time a member of the United Nations and therefore could have been represented in the United Nations force. But the American government would not tolerate such a move, unquote, General Douglas MacArthur. And so the war in Korea was technically a United Nations police action. And U.S. military, the plans were didn't stop at the president, as we now know. The President Truman, another murderer, was only the second in command of U.S. forces, you see? Because the true commander of U.S. forces in Korea was the Undersecretary for Political and Security Council Affairs in the United Nations. So by agreement between U.N. member states, this position was always held by a communist. And during the Korean War, it was helped by Konstantin Zinchenko of Russia. So, it begs the question, then, could it be that the Russian UN Undersecretary was relaying American battle plans to Moscow and Moscow sending the plans to North Korea? Well, General MacArthur said, and I quote, "I ordered General Stettmeyer, Chief of Staff, to employ B-29s on the following morning to destroy the Yalu bridges and cut this easy line of communication between Manchuria and North Korea." An immediate dispatch came from Secretary of State George Marshall, countermanding my order and directing me to, quote, "postpone all bombings of targets within the 5 miles of Manchurian border," unquote. See, you've always had a rift between the U.S. military and the presidency, because the presidency of America, of the colony called America, yeah, you got that right, is subservient to the Vatican and the monarchy. So your secret society members over here, that's the military, white hats and Knights of Malta and all that, they feel that they're being put down by the monarchy, and the monarchy is afraid of the military, and there's a rift there, and we're caught in the middle. Now, I'm going to give you some evidence on that, of this rift of evil that we're caught between. I can actually give you actual testimony here and current show you this. Now, some of my regular listeners, you've heard this before, so bear with me. But I have to make a point. I don't know who's new here and who's not. So listen to this. Now, this confirms current date, Obama, and your generals that are Knights of Malta, Knights of Columbus, but they've taken an oath for the Vatican also. So who's on whose side here?
So things are getting nutty in D.C., and people are concerned about our Constitution and whether or not, you know, we're maintaining the integrity of our Constitution, right?
Absolutely.
Well, Rick Joyner, Pastor Rick Joyner of the Morningstar Ministries, he's genuinely concerned about the disregard for our Constitution, which is why he's praying for God to manufacture a military takeover of the United States government. On a recent TV episode, it's funny, but it's not funny, because he's really serious, and he's connected up with some, like, military people. He said this: "There's no way our republic can last much longer. It may not last through Obama's second term. There's a glib, almost joyful disregard of the Constitution, a belittling of the Constitution. We're headed for serious tyranny," is what he says. So, Pastor Joyner, please tell us what we can do. I'm concerned about our Constitution, too. What can we do to save it? Let's see what he has to offer.
The kingdom of God is coming. And America is not the kingdom of God. We're not the new Jerusalem. I think we've been used in some wonderful and powerful ways by God. We've been one of the most generous nations in history. We've done so much good. And that's why I appeal to the Lord. Don't let us be totally destroyed. Please raise up those who will save us. And as I've started telling friends for a long time, that no election's going to get the right person in there that can restore us, because the system is so broken, so undermined right now, the whole system. I believe our only hope is a military takeover, martial law, and that the most crucial element of that is who the marshal is going to be. I believe there are noble leaders in our military.
Well, I hope God is watching his little TV station there.
I'm shocked that he would ask for specifically a military takeover. Oftentimes their messages are slightly more subtle.
And even more specifically, he says, "I believe that there are noble leaders in our military that love the republic, love everything that we stand for, and they could seize the government." And what's important to him, as he said, is who those people are within the military. So who might those noble marshals be, Pastor Joyner? Well, Rick Joyner is the president of the Oak Initiative, which is, their own website describes them as, a grassroots movement to unite, mobilize, equip, and activate Christians. And among the ministers and Christian lobbyists that comprise the 14 board member of the Yoke, listed directly below the chair and the president is retired Army General Jerry Boykin. And this is how Boykin is described in the Oaks Initiative own website. Lieutenant General Boykin was one of the elite warriors chosen in 1978 to make up the first unit in America's ultra-secretive and deadly Delta Force. That's who I want as part of my Christian army.
That's unbelievable. You know, the hypocrisy here is just egregious, right? So one of the Ten Commandments is, thou shalt not kill, period. It's not, thou shalt not kill unless it's convenient to our political agenda. It's unbelievable, especially to have people that have essentially trained to kill others on their board and on their team.
Besides the fact of the hypocrisy of, they're so concerned about the Constitution that they want to usurp the Constitution. So on a recent show, General Boykin and Pastor Joyner discussed the excitement that the end times were near and that the only thing that needs to happen in order for the end times is for a prophecy to take place, Isaiah's prophecy of the destruction of Damascus, Syria. So they're like
super excited about the destruction.
They're geared up. Yeah. Oh, goody, grab the popcorn, you know. End days are coming, but not before Joyner and Boykin elicit God's help to save the Constitution by suspending the Constitution.
Now, this is not new. This is old. This goes back to the 1930s. Of this same nonsense. While we all slept, while our families slept, while our fathers and grandfathers slept, fooled and lied to. Why your religion was being already infiltrated by the humanists very cleverly. Billy Graham was the start of it. 1949, funded by the Rockefellers. Fully funded. Yeah, that's right, he was. So was Billy Sunday later, earlier. They're sneaking in since 1887 into religion. Now, you know that in June of 72, that there was former CIA employees under direction of the White House, which of course you know is under the direction of the Council of Foreign Relations, which is under the direction of the Illuminati. They were caught breaking into Democratic National Headquarters at Watergate office. You know about that. And a certain source that relayed to William Steele, and I found some other sources. I never take one source ever. He was told that these burglars were working on a tip that was evidence that Democratic presidential candidate McGovern accepted legal contributions from Fidel Castro. Fidel Castro was a 7-year Jesuit worked on by the CIA, let in over Batista. He was a Jesuit, Castro was. Milo Milosevic was a Freemason, was trained in D.C., New York, in the 80s. Saddam Hussein was a Freemason brought in by the CFR, by the CIA. Every doggone one of them. Bin Laden was brought in Afghanistan. Omar Sheikh, the one who killed Bin Laden in year 2000, you heard me right. I didn't stutter on that and I didn't make a mistake. Omar Sheikh killed Bin Laden in 2001, in December. Benir Bhutto confirms he's dead, at least even before 2007. Benir Bhutto was killed 2 months after he made the announcement. They've been lying to y'all, and they took down the SEAL groups that did it so they wouldn't talk. Back to what I was talking about. Nixon maneuvered very successfully to keep an investigation of the incident quiet. Then came the hearings in 1973. Committee to repeal the 22nd Amendment. I obtained a copy of, which is, you can do it too if you want, a copy of the Glasshouse tapes by Lewis Tackwood. Lewis Tackwood claimed he is a member of the super-secret domestic intelligence unit of the Los Angeles Police Department, is working on a plan to create a chaotic domestic political situation in the United States that would give President Nixon the justification to declare martial law. Sound familiar? So Tackwood, who's a member of this unit, now I found out from other investigation research that every major police department has one of these super secret domestic intelligence units that's there working for the CIA to assassinate unmercifully, to bribe, to kill, to intimidate, things against the law that would make you make your hair white. They'd be under a blood oath too, by the way. Hint, hint. So this Tackwood claimed that he had helped set up a secret operation that would allow anti-war demonstrators, the dialectic, to break into the floor of the 72 Republican Convention. 1972. Republicans. Convention. And it was scheduled at that time to take place in San Diego, but because this operation failed to take place, it was moved to Miami. But in any case, then it was scheduled in San Diego. And so the plan was, just as Vice President Agnew was going to speak, Louis Tackwood and his accomplices would cause a riot on the convention floor. And the demonstrators would be battling police. You know that Occupy Wall Street, a year or 2 years ago, was funded by the Rockefellers? Did y'all know that? This Luke Randowski, they're Freemasons. Craig Fitzgerald, they're lying Freemasons. Where he chases down Kissinger and these YouTube things. Chases down Rockefeller and all that stuff. It's all played out, family. It's all acted out. He works, Luke Randowski and Craig Fitzgerald. Just like Paul Rykoff. He's a member of the Council of Foreign Relations. He's there to try to help curb the number of suicides of our military personnel as high as the Council of Foreign Relations. And he's a member of the Council of Foreign Relations, for goodness sakes. He's there to make sure that no progress is made. Well, during this 1972 operation, they'd cause a riot on a convention floor. Demonstrators battling police. Cops dressed up as demonstrators would cause the riot. This is standard operating procedures, by the way, behind the curtain. And during the resulting uproar, the vice president would be shot, assassinated, murdered on national TV by a LAPD sniper, and be to gain maximum impact on TV. You know, Vancouver, they had some marching up there, and they discovered that several of the marchers were law enforcement starting the riots and the violence. They were police officers. And the marchers said, well, hey, you, started isolating them. And the police guys dressed in civilian clothes, man, they got out of there because they were caught in the act. Smart guys up there in Canada. Good job, Canada. Your Illuminati is a Canadian, what you call it? Hold on a second. The Canadian Illuminati up there that you've got equivalent to Council of Foreign Relations? I bet some of y'all would like to know who it is, wouldn't you? Your Illuminati, your murderers up there in Canada? Yeah, let's see. They're called the Canadian, naturally Canadian, because it's in Canada. You know, it would be appropriate, wouldn't it? Sometimes my mind goes to other places. I don't have it prepared because I just, one thing after another. I don't like to forget. Okay. Canadian Institute for International Affairs. I should have guessed that one. CIIA. Canadian Institute for International Affairs. That's your liars, cheaters, in your government up there in Canada. Okay. Yeah, there you go. Now you got it? Good. Because in addition to this operation they'd planned, you look more into it in the summer of 1973. Now, I looked a little deeper, and I found out, okay, this operation is supposed to take place to justify martial law. Watergate took place in June 72. Well, I found out separately when I investigated how accurate William T. Steele would be. I don't trust anybody, and I like it that way. I found out that Nixon had signed Executive Order 11647 in February the 12th, 1972. February the 12th, 1972. About 4 months before Watergate. He signed Executive Order 11647. What was that? Well, Executive Order 11647 was to divide the United States into 10 regions, 5 states each, with one governor per region and one UN administrator for each region. So it'd be 10 governors and 10 UN regional administrators assigned to this colony called America. And later they're to become the FEMA regions, exactly right down to the state in 1980s. And in 1973, Nixon signed the Executive Order 11495 to take total control of U.S. government departments in D.C. And then earlier he signed Executive Order 11731 to continue on with the administration of 11647. So I said, oh, that matches. So now, Agnew would be shot on national TV by Los Angeles Police Department sniper who would get away with it. They'd probably blame somebody else. And then this incident of assassination of Agnew, Agnew was forced upon Nixon as his vice president because Nixon wanted Nelson Rockefeller as his vice president. So, that told me that the Council of Foreign Relations said, no, you're going to take Agnew. Why? Because they knew that Agnew was going to be shot. So that means Nixon didn't really know. If he was part of it and not just a little old puppet like all of our presidents are. Now, one that wasn't really a puppet was FDR, one of the most evil presidents we've had in our history. Oh, God, I got quotes on him that would just turn your stomach. Behind closed doors, I got bona fide, guaranteed quotes. Family, you got to know what you're dealing with. And Bush's been murderous since 1915. Clinton, he's a Luciferian, just like Buchanan, the both of them. Buchanan's the Knights of Malta. Clinton's a Rhodes Scholar. Both of them taking blood oaths against Americans. Cheney, Colin Powell, they're all part of the secret societies. Every mother son of them. Matter of fact, Colin Powell's part of the bloodline, Merovingian bloodline. Did you know that? Anyway, so after this assassination of Agnew, and since Nixon wanted to bring on Rockefeller as his vice president but was not allowed to, that Agnew was forced upon him, that told me somebody else is in control. Now, that assassination, had it occurred, was then going to be followed by a wave of nationwide bombings for which the revolutionary left would openly take credit for. So now, in response to that, President Nixon would have the justification to declare the state of a national emergency and essentially suspend the Constitution. Now, that didn't happen. So what would you think they would want to have to do? Well, being Agnew obviously was not part of it. He was the lamb that's going to be slaughtered to justify it. And police officers that are supposed to uphold the law were going to do the bombings or initiate them. Since it didn't happen for various reasons, somebody on the inside was pulling the strings. Do you think maybe God had a hand in that? Influencing certain people to do certain things to stop it? You can say the White House if you want to, but they're part of the evil too. Some of them don't even know that because they're being led to the slaughter as well. The Great White Brotherhood is going to kill all Freemasons when they have total control, according to their own planning process. Chapter 15 of the Protocols of the Learned Elders of Zion, which is Adam Weishaupt's plan going back to 1700s, that they're going to kill all Freemasons, execute, once they have total control. It will happen. They better know this. But anyway, back to Tackwood. Tackwood's assertions in his testimony were more believable because it's true that Nixon didn't replace him on the ticket in 72, but Agnew resigned on October the 10th, 1973. And this is after allegations of corruption and bribery certainly surfaced, suddenly. That's how they get rid of him if they don't assassinate him. They bring up bribery or collusion or illegal spending of government funds, something, or prostitution or child abuse or something. They'll always come up with something to get rid of him, or they'll have an accident. That's how it works. And according to testimony of or words of Barry Goldwater, in the autobiography of Goldwater, he said Nixon never liked Agnew because his nomination had been forced upon him by the conservative wing of the Republican Party. How about that? Quote, a lot of us in the GOP knew Nixon would have preferred Rockefeller or former Texas Governor John Connally as his running mate in 1972. But conservatives would have not tolerated that. I was positive of one thing. The White House itself was leaking some of the allegations against Agnew, unquote. So, now what would you do if you were president and you were on one of these operations? Well, wouldn't you bring a family member in? Well, he did. Nixon brought in Gerald Ford, a cousin. Mm-hmm. That to replace Agnew on the vice presidency. And Ford later granted Nixon a presidential pardon from any future prosecution. Now, come on. Now, if you were cousins and you wanted to protect your cousin there, Hatfield McCoy, you understand? Wouldn't you pardon your cousin Nixon? That's what he did, so you shouldn't blame him. He pardoned his cousin, as he's supposed to do. You know what? A former Nixon aide, John Dean, hinted that he may have been aware of the incident. And on a December 82 interview, after hours, Dean said that he knew about the, quote, assassination plots, but said that he didn't know just what to make of them. In December 22nd, 1973, President Nixon met with the Joint Chief of Staff and tried to enlist the support in extra constitutional action to keep him in power. According to Seymour Hersh, August 83 of edition of Atlantic Monthly, article, interesting article called The Pardon. Page 69, one of the Chief of Staff recalled Nixon's speech with alarm. He said, I quote, he kept on referring to the fact that he may be the last hope, that the Eastern elite was out to get him. He kept saying, this is our last and best hope, the last chance to resist the fascists of the left. His words brought me straight up out of my chair. I felt the president, without the words having been said, was trying to sound us out to see if we would support him in some extra constitutional action. He is trying to find out whether, in a crunch, there would be support to keep him in power. Now, I found very interesting because I am a former U.S. Marine, so I can really find it quite interesting. Um, of what he'd planned on doing. Because what they're going to do was General Cushman of the Marine Corps and Nixon were good buddies. Cushman was CIA, former CIA something or other. And in August 27th, 1974, the Washington Post, in a story entitled Military Coup Fears Denied, which I got me a copy of that, I wanted to read it myself, reported that Secretary of Defense James Schlesinger had taken special measures to protect the military chain of command should any illegal orders come from the president. So, quote, Defense Secretary James Schlesinger requested a tight watch in the military chain of command to ensure that no extraordinary orders went out of the White House during the period of uncertainty. Pentagon officials had said that Schlesinger never feared that a coup would be successful even if attempted. Nevertheless, Defense Department officials said the word went out that no commanders of any forces should carry out any orders which came from the White House or elsewhere outside the normal military channels. Department officials confirmed that Schlesinger and General George Brown, chairman of the Joint Chief of Staff, discussed among themselves how they should be aware of illegal orders being issued to military units outside normal chain of command. So, in July 74, Schlesinger investigated just how quickly the Army's 82nd Airborne could be brought to Washington, D.C. from Fort Bragg, North Carolina, to counterbalance the Marine contingents. I said Marine contingents that were loyal to Nixon and General Cushman. And there were estimated like 10,000 could be brought from Camp Lejeune to D.C., surround D.C. And in Seymour Hersh, in the Atlantic Monthly, August 83, said, and I quote, Schlesinger began to investigate what forces could be assembled at his order as a counterweight to the Marines if Nixon, in a crisis, chose to subvert the Constitution, and the notion that Nixon could at any time resort to extraordinary steps to preserve his presidency, sound familiar, was far more widespread in the government than the public perceived in early days of Watergate or perceives even today, unquote, as the 1983 time frame. And when Richard Nixon was vice president under Eisenhower, he struck up kind of a friendship with General Cushman in 71. It was General Cushman, who was a deputy director of CIA, he provided unauthorized CIA support to the illegal escapades of Watergate's plumbers Hunt and Liddy. And by June 74, how about that? And Cushman was appointed as Marine representative on a Joint Chief of Staff, one of the five most powerful military men in the nation. So Schlesinger watched Cushman closely for several months. In the article it says, I quote, Schlesinger continued to believe that Cushman, with his personal loyalty to Nixon, was a weak link in the new chain of command. He quietly investigated just what forces would be able to Nixon. The Marines, Cushman's troops, were by far the strongest presence in the Washington area, unquote. How about all that stuff going on? When you go to the Bonus Army and how our military attacked our former military World War I veterans, it's not out of the realm because it happened. Nothing new under the sun. Marines, Army, Freemasons, y'all being hooked, crooked, and lied to by the highest level. And did you know that in 1993-94 time frame, Did you know that the U.S. military and the Illuminati had 11 top-ranking officials in the Defense Department and 7 top-ranking members of the Joint Chief of Staff in 1993 under the Illuminati? Every Allied Supreme Commander between 1949 and 1987, including Dwight D. Eisenhower, and every Secretary of Defense from 1957, including their family member, Richard Cheney. Every single one of them. Mm-hmm. How about those apples? You know, we in America here live in a golden bubble, insulated from a very dangerous world. William T. Still puts out a good book and some good information. Bill Cooper, Gary Carr. I just never know when someone's going to turn, though, you know. They give you good information and they turn on you. Like Billy Graham, he's one for sure, turned on us. Joel Osteen and his wife, Victoria. Benny Hinn, all the rest of them. They never were good. They pull people in, then they turn on you. And you see why. This is how they work it. They do the same thing, you know, on your down to a personal level, on the YouTube and on your Facebooks. Oh, I love God. I love Jesus Christ. Oh, yeah. Bless you. Oh, bless you. God bless you, too. And then before you know it, they turn around with a couple of strange doctrine. Then they attack you. Or they go behind your back in your Facebook and your YouTube. And then they start saying, well, you know, I just don't believe in their saved, born-again ideas. There's really not telling. And the King James? No. It's not really the true word of God because the real truth. They do this as they meet your friend. This on a personal level. Now, move it up. Boom. Oh, up to international. There's no difference at all. It's the same way Satan operates. Right in your camp. North American continent, the New Atlantis, the New Jerusalem. Oh, they're sneaky. They'll never get it. It's impossible. God's way, way ahead of them. They'll never accomplish what they set out to do. God gives them just enough rope for them to hang themselves, enough opportunity to repent. So once President Nixon resigned in August 1974, military coup option was dead. The same planners who brought America to the verge of civil war shifted gears and changed their direction of attack. And Nixon's plans went to the FEMA. Reagan. North, who's a nice of Malta. Giafrida. And we're there today. You just heard Rick Joyner talking about that. Right up till today. There's nothing changed whatsoever. Except technology, methodology. And they just adjust as they come because they just never give up. But God already knows what they're going to do. That's got to be frustrating for them. You know that? Don't you know that's got to be frustrating? For them to make all these plans and God says, no, it ain't going to happen, man. So he makes somebody whistleblow or something tears down or somebody gets revealed or whatever. Every single time. They don't catch it. They just don't understand. That when their time comes, they're going to lose horribly. So their success, listen to me. Their success is going to be their permanent failure. Have they stopped doing this? After Nixon, what happened?
Reagan was elected to the presidency. He installed Louis Giafrida as head of FEMA, the Federal Emergency Management Agency. Giafrida was an old cold warrior from Reagan's California days whose specialty was suppression of unrest and dissent. Giafrida, North, and George Bush began to turn FEMA into an instrument of domestic anti-terrorism.
You're dealing with a group of people in the Reagan administration who equated political dissent with treason, and who cannot differentiate between emergency procedures, which I think everyone agrees are necessary, and suppressing political dissent. And with North and Poindexter and Casey, you had a group of people who saw Americans who disagree with them as the enemy.
Colonel North, in your work at the NSC, were you not assigned at one time to work on plans for the continuity of government in the event of a major disaster?
Mr. Chairman,
I believe that question touches upon a highly sensitive and classified area, so may I request that you not touch upon that, sir?
I was particularly concerned, Mr. Chairman, because I read in Miami papers and several others that there had been a plan developed by that same agency, a contingency plan in the event of emergency that would suspend the American Constitution. And I was deeply concerned about it and wondering if that was the area in which he had worked. I believe it was.
May I most respectfully request that that matter not be touched upon at this stage. If we wish to get into this, I'm certain arrangements can be made for an executive session.
And tragically, the only member who got close was Jack Brooks, and he was stopped by the church.
Now, that was the late 80s, mid-80s. Then 90s came up. Now, I'm working on a sequence. I'm just giving you kind of a shot of how they operate. I'm just kind of laying the groundwork again Monday for the remaining part of the week. So now, our current administration, as I'm led to believe, it is true, that is not happy with political dissent. That's true. National Defense Authorization Act, John Warner, National Defense Authorization Act that Bush and Obama has come up with. You ever heard of the War Powers Act? Yeah. Confiscation of gold. Taking our money off the gold standard, making it worthless. As FDR. That was one evil. I got a quote on him. If you want to hear his quote, see his quote, go on my website, watchmanforjesus.com, watchmanforjesus.com, and then on there I've got a timeline. And go to March 4th, 1939, search. It's about 200-page timeline. It's a general timeline I've come up with that I had to use about 6 years ago, 5 years ago, to try to outline this conspiracy so I'd understand it, that it was real. So I put on a timeline so I could follow it. Now, there it is. It's sunk. And you'll find March of 4th, 1939, what FDR said behind closed doors. It's unbelievable. But it's real. Is given to Senator Lundeen, given to William G. Carr, Red Frog over America, 1950s after FDR died in Yalta. They had to keep him there to keep him quiet so he wouldn't get a case of the conscience, deathbed confession type of thing. And that's why they killed him. There's many presidents that have been killed that you don't know about. Nothing new under the sun. FEMA adopted President Nixon's same plan, just enhanced it according to the technology, the political situation, economic situation that was developing as the roundtables met together to discuss the objectives for that decade. You see how detailed this is? Now, tomorrow, we got another 15 minutes to go. I've talked in general terms, really, today. I've not even covered the details. I want to talk tomorrow in more detail about the communist infiltration of American churches in more detail, because that's how they're controlling the people. How's the best way to control people? 1909, Carnegie Peace Foundation discovered by 1 year it took them of discussion, debate, and analysis, etc., the best way to control people in 1909 that led to World War I, they determined was war. You have a war, you control the population. And, of course, we got really busy all the way up to 1950. World War I, World War II. Even before that was the Banana Wars. As after the Banana Wars, 1909. And, of course, 1921, they placated us with the Happy Days Are Here Again, 1921, 1928. Funded Adolf Hitler, 1928. 1929, the Great Depression. Planning a military coup of the U.S. government by FDR. He was planning that, just like now. It didn't happen, though. General Butler, you know about the story there. He blew the whistle to Congress in 1934. They were going to use World War I veterans that were denied their bonuses. They used the U.S. military to run them out of their tent houses to make them mad enough to where they'd want to fight. That was the purpose of it. Veterans, you're being taken again. They've always tried to get us to fight each other. '72, Nixon. 1984 was Giafrida, Reagan, North, Poindexter, all those guys. Operation Northwoods. 1990s, it was George Bush, wanted to be a dictator. His own words, not mine. Man, his own words. As long as I'm dictator is what he says, 1990s. There's other reasons for the Iraq War besides Afghanistan coming in and having to foment the Al-Qaeda, which is controlled by the CIA. They admit that ISIS doesn't exist, even though the news, oh yeah, ISIS never existed, Al-Qaeda never existed, it's all controlled. By their own admission. When you put all these dots together, they're not expecting people to do that. And then to come with an analysis and conclusion based on facts. They don't expect that to happen. It's all play-acted. And people die as a result of it. Being a former Marine, I got a problem with that because every war, every single doggone war, every single war, I don't know how else to say it, has been because of these Jesuits, these lying Freemasons, Jesuits, killing other Freemasons. Family, they're not done yet. They want to get us to fight each other again. We're going along with it. I don't know how to stop it. To wake people up. It's frustrating. I got 15 minutes to go. And the program's over. Tonight, oh, there it is. Tonight, 9 to 11, Revelation Radio Network on Blog Talk Radio. I will have, they sponsor my show, Watchmen for Jesus, on their network. You can go to Blog Talk Radio and Watchmen for Jesus program on Blog Talk Radio, 9 to 11 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. And if the sound is bad and the chat's not working for you, whatever, you can still go on my website, watchingforjesus.com, and it's the I don't have a chat there, but I've got it's good sound. You can go there and listen to the program tonight, 9 to 11. Now, everything I've said to date, 2 hours and one hour and 45 minutes. About how they're stooping us again. Alright. Now. September 19th. That's 2 days ago. Now I'm not... Because this affected me a little bit more than I expected. I mean, after telling you all I've told you now, and now looking at it from another perspective, September 19th, doggone it, I found another article. This article says, quote, epic. U.S. Marines will turn on feds. Oath Keepers founder, Stuart Rhodes. Now I'm going to look up Stuart Rhodes and find out where he really works, who he really works for. See, there's a speech by Stuart Rhodes. It's epic, and federal officials better take notice. Because, quote, in fact, the entire purpose of CSPOA, whatever meeting, in the National Press Club of September 17th, was to put our government officials on notice, and they did. We have to wonder, why didn't the mainstream media cover the event? Here we go. Bring out the violins and the rah, rah, rah stuff, which convenes some of our nation's most powerful voices on constitutionality. Well, first, we don't have one there, Stuart Rhodes. Yeah, he better get educated. In any case, their coverage of this historic event, and Sheriff Mack, Sheriff Mack, what are you doing? You and Apayo, you better smarten up. And know the Freemasons are behind this. The Knights of Malta. Boulay Society for the blacks. Freemasons and Knights of Malta for the white folk. The secret societies. The Council of Foreign Relations. Are they just unaware at their position? Or are they part of this evil? Like the Bundys definitely were. They're Illuminati. Turn their back on their fellow ranchers, playing the part of patriots, and they're not. Like Doug Dynasty. He's going to write his next Bible, another Bible next year. It means he's not Christian. If he's not Christian, he's a darn Satanist. You're either with God or you're not. He's on TV. That should speak for itself. Pretend Christians they are. Like this Jonathan Conjob and the Shemitah, whatever, nonsense. And Hagee, blood moon. There's no four blood moons. I'm not sure what Bible he's using, but it's not the true word of God, that's for sure. Look it up on your own. Go for yourself. I'm tired of these things, man. I'm trying to find ways to expose it as dramatically as I can. Maybe this YouTube thing, when I figure this darn thing out. I got to figure it out that you got to either cut out the music or you got to do something, sign something, whatever. I'm not really into electronics and all that. And I know kids are putting on YouTubes and all that, but I don't know. I just know certain things at work. I'll admit that. I'm a little challenged sometimes when it comes to that, but I'm learning. But nevertheless, I got to figure out ways I can get out there because I'm tired of these liars, man. And people that aren't liars, they're not doing the research properly. Here it goes again. Quote, Stuart Rhodes, Oath Keeper. If we allow our police forces to militarize and use the military against the people, there will be another fight than there should be. The founders would roll over in their graves and say, we're going to submit without a fight? Of course there'll be a fight, just like there was that day. Well, we never won that day, and the so-called founders were deists, and they were Fabian, and they were Freemasons that came over here to put us under financial bondage for three 70-year cycles. They don't tell you that. We remained a colony under England since 1783 Paris Peace Treaty. How come this Stuart Rhodes don't know that? How come they don't know the Constitution was never meant to be followed? Is rendered null and void. How come they're not working on that? How come they're trying once again to foment another civil war of Americans versus Americans? Is this Stuart Rhodes that stupid or dumb, or is he part of the agenda? What's going on here? How come these people that's got him on shows don't expose this? Why? So, U.S. Marines, you're going to turn on the feds. Okay, now, who are the feds? Besides a mixed bag of other internationals and all that, too. But who are the feds? Who are the feds? I'm asking you, who are they? They're Americans, aren't they? And I bet they're former veterans, too, aren't they? And who are the Marines? They're Americans and former and vets and retired and disabled and whatever also. So do you think by a small smidgen of a chance that some of the feds that came back from Iraq and Afghanistan that got a job on feds might have fought with the Marines that come back and didn't get a job on feds. And 26 suicides per day to be slowed down and handled by Paul Rykoff of the Council of Foreign Relations? What's wrong with these people? Well, one thing is, God said in the Bible, my people perish for lack of knowledge. So you got Marines fighting feds, you got Americans fighting Americans, you got former Iraq vets fighting former Iraq vets. Now, does anybody see a doggone problem with this? I do. So what's wrong with Sheriff Mack not to figure this out? Arpaio and all these others, the so-called patriots. Doggone it. You know, shoot. The more I think about it, the more my toes curl and hair start turning even whiter than what it is. You know, is it a cowardice? Is it a lack of knowledge? Or is it they've taken a blood oath to lie, cheat, and steal? What is it? I call it for what it is. You know, what's going on? What's the true story here? Somebody, do something right. And identify these secret societies. Renounce your blood oaths. Get out of there, man. Don't do what they want you to do. You're not bound to that blood oath when you renounce it and ask for God's forgiveness. And you ain't got to go through another human, no pope, no priest, no pastor, no preacher, nobody. Just you and Jesus Christ renouncing the blood oath, renouncing your sins to Jesus alone by yourself on the side of the road. It'll make one bit of difference. He knows your heart. If you truly are against sin, if you're truly against lying to the American people or your town council or whatever you're doing, you know when you lie and when you don't. Simple. Doggone it. Darn it. You know, when are people going to start doing the right thing? Because you're going to lose. There's no win in this, Freemasons. Not so multi. You're not going to win. You're going to die. They're going to use you up and kill you just like a outer skin of an onion. And throw you away. That's a promise. Because they say it themselves on their planning process and their planning documents. Anyway. Well, I'm just getting warmed up for this week. You know, they're going to use... Oh, yeah, I was going to mention. Americans fire on Americans. They can't trust that in every case. So they brought in internationals, UN, Spitznaz, Chinese. They need justification. Remember, Nixon, liberals. But what do they have now? They've got ISIS. They've got militia, survivalist. They got Muslims of other kinds that's living in Dearborn and Detroit. That's their safe houses. They got the Mexicans getting the dickens out of there because they're getting murdered in Mexico to come in here. But in the meantime, they're bringing in MS-13. Yeah, buddy. In the tens of thousands. Crips, Bloods, MS-13, KKK, all this mixed bag, everything. Now all they got to do is give notice. Start your attacks. Justify martial law. See? That's how they're going to do it. And you'll want it. You'll want a military takeover to protect you. Well, we can't do it unless you turn your weapons in. Oh, ouch. Oh, they got some sneaky things coming. And you all militia, and you all in the FEMA and all that, you feds, you're working for them. For the very ones that's going to kill you. And take away your families. And give you martial law. And let the UN take over. You're working for them. At the foreign trade zones. 290 nationwide, to be exact. Well, I'm at the end of my day. Tonight, 9 o'clock. Tomorrow, Bible study. Tuesday to Friday. 8 to 9. Tuesday to Friday. I'm not dramatic when I bring facts to the table. I just bring facts to the table. and get emphatic about it. Yeah. Well, see y'all tonight at 9 o'clock on my website here or Blog Talk Radio. They have a chat there. Or do both at the same time, whatever works for you. You can put up my station on there and then turn down the sound for the chat over there and have two of those boxes you put up on your internet, whatever, on your screen. Work both of them, whatever. Or don't. I got my archives on watchmanforjesus.com. Also let y'all know we're played up in highpointradio.net. He plays our broadcasts and our Bible studies, John Kirkler. And he's up in New York, New Jersey, and Pennsylvania. We appreciate him playing our radio broadcast and my Bible studies. And John Kirkler, highportradio.net. He's got sponsors up there, too. Find out, go up there, use his sponsors, and give him a good word for John Kirkler. And all we get for it is he plays our radio broadcast and Bible studies now. And my appreciation is what we get. Or I give him, or whatever. You got the point. Well, family, anyway, got to go. And tomorrow I'm going to hit the ground running. I'm going to focus on the religious part of it. I think today was a mixed bag of how they did. I want to talk also about the Hegelian dialectic, which sounds opposite, contradictory. Yeah, it is. It's supposed to be. I come in as your friend. I come in and I give you a problem, and then I know how you're going to react, and then I got the solution. And the solution to the problem will be contradictory. That's just how it works. That's how they do it. And they control it through the Council of Foreign Relations, Bilderberg Meeting, Club of Rome, Trilateral Commission, Royal Institute of International Affairs. You got the point now? That's submitted to the Illuminati, the Council of 300, which goes to the Committee of the Seven, Council of Seven, and it's 33, and the Council of 10. You see how it works? These are all bloodline. This is the reality of this world. And they believe in Satan. They worship Satan, and they murder tens of thousands of people in the name of Satan. Whether you believe in Satan or not, don't matter. They do. But they lose because Jesus Christ is coming back. And there's nothing they can do about it. But in the meantime, tribulations are on the way. Hadn't started yet. But we're close to the first seal. Very close. Don't be fooled by this so-called World War III is coming up. It's not World War III whatsoever. It's the crisis they need to bring on the first seal, though. We shall see. Y'all have a good night. God bless y'all. This is the Watchman, signing off.
Shining out from him like sunlight from the sky. Guilt and my confusion disappeared in sweet relief. And every fear I'd ever had just melted into peace.